Blog Talk Radio.
Paperback writer, black writer. Is there all night when you read my book? It could be as your eyes when you take a look. Based on a novel by a man named Lear, and I need a job, so I wanna be a paperback writer. Paperback writer.
Sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. We hang out at allpoetry.com. It's the biggest writing site on the planet. Free to join. Number here if you want to share your work or meet the celebrities here. Celebrities. The number is, if I can remember, 646-668-2837. I believe that's it. You're free to join.
It is.
You can hang out with us, with me, talk about A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, which is a great thing. Along with me is the man from Down Under, the Wizard of Oz, the man from Snowy River, the Joe and Banjo Patterson, A.P. Taylor. How are you, A.P. Taylor?
I'm very, very well, Hadda. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm really sore from exercising.
You've been on the
you know, I know when you get older you say I'm out of shape, but I could do it. I remember when I was young, you know, playing ball, and you know, the notes, the grindstone, build it up. It's not easy, man. Do yourself a favor. Don't get out of shape at all. Stay in shape the rest of the whole life. Do yourself a favor if it gets harder. Along with me also is Deborah Lee, my little sister, the boss. She hangs out at the back, does all the heavy lifting. So me and A.P. Taylor can sit out here and look pretty. Hi, Deb.
Hey. I'm not the boss. That'd be Bruce Springsteen. Just saying.
The boss.
That's right.
Or my mom. Yeah, one of the, she was the boss. Freaky weather here. It's snowing in Sacred Tomato, California.
Yep.
Really?
They've been showing it on the news.
It is freezing cold outside. The wind's coming from the south. The circular patterns of the weather systems coming from the south. Usually when it's this cold, it's an Arctic blast from Alaska straight down the coast. But it's just a weird phenomenon right now. And it is flipping cold. I mean, bitter cold. Well, be it, I was a California boy, lived and raised. I don't go to the snow too much. I visit it. I see it on the movies. I see it on Google. And you can live in. I don't want to live in the snow. Good place to visit. So tonight, the prompt was I laid it out last week. Books. Anything books. That comes to mind? Yeah, book 'em, Dano. I got a big ass book to read. Or I laid books. You know, the bookies. There you go. I had
there
a bookie
go.
Once.
No. No, it was a,
he
would
let me,
good,
more, he wouldn't
good
let me make any more bets.
Better.
Couldn't make bets. Yeah.
Good prompt. I think a good prompt. So. And because books can mean many different things, Hatter, as you said.
You know,
it doesn't just mean the hard copies of a thing with pages. It can, you know, mean the book 'em, Dano, as you rightly said, and a whole heap of things in between. So I think it's a good prompt.
Yeah, Y-E-5-O. Was you know Jack Lord and James MacArthur?
Yeah.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yes, very much. Yeah, very much so.
Do you know?
Yeah. Staple.
Do you know the Wrecking Crew recorded the Hawaii 5-0 theme song, which went number one when I was young. It was a number one song.
I didn't know. Yeah. I did know it went number one, but I still know the Wrecking Crew. Let's go.
Yeah, the Wrecking Crew. They did Bonanza. They did the Batman theme. They did Hawaii 5-0. Yeah, the Wrecking Crew.
Yes.
Responsible for a lot of things.
Cool.
A lot. Well, they say 85%
really cool.
of all music during the decade that they were in the studio, 85% of all music out of L.A. was the Wrecking Crew had their
hands
in. That's amazing. Just amazing.
There you go. So... I'd better say something about Paperback Rider. Am I allowed to do that, just for a kick?
You are. Go for it.
Okay. Well, Paperback Rider was the Beatles single in between Nowhere Man and Eleanor Rigby. So it came out in 1966 under pressure from the record company, because the record company wanted them to have a hit out there. Yeah. So... Lennon McCartney wrote it in an hour-long car trip, as you do, from London, because they were reasonably good at writing lyrics. But interestingly enough, it was the first Beatles single that wasn't universally acclaimed, that people didn't like it in the musical industry. And it didn't help that in Britain... they promoted this song with pictures of the Beatles draped with pieces of raw meat and decapitated baby dolls.
Yeah, the cover of Revolver, wasn't it? Was it the cover of the original cover?
Yeah, somebody was obviously, you know, on hallucinogenic substances. In America, the single showed the Beatles playing live, but... Lennon and Harrison's images were reflected, so it looked as if they were playing left-handed. So they didn't do the so-called butcher cover in America. They kept that for Britain. But
it was actually banned here. They wouldn't release it.
I think it was.
So it was,
yes.
They had to re-release it. Yeah. So the people that got the original cover went out and bought the original cover before they took it off the market, took it off the shelves. Has a gold mine in their hands if they have one.
There you go. Well,
I think it came across time. Go ahead, AP. Sorry,
Hatter. No. I was just going to say they used the same cover when they went on the Ed Sullivan Show. They had their faces hidden behind the Butcher's cover, which apparently didn't go down very well either.
Yeah. They just wrapped the album, something like that. But you gotta remember, at that time, if I remember right, the Stones had just produced Let It Bleed, and
yes,
Lennon was on a crusade to teach the media a lesson. He was being microanalyzed like Bob Dylan and all the other big stars back then. Everything he wrote, or McCartney also, everything the Beatles wrote, was being microanalyzed and always seemed to go back to use of drugs, and it wasn't that.
Yeah.
So Lennon went on his crusade to write shocking, nonsensical lines like Green Onion, the song Green Onion, and Number 9 on the White Album. It was Lennon having a little fit, teaching the lesson.
We haven't spoken much to Deb. Deb, are you still there in the background?
I am.
Because
I was just going to say, Hatta,
because Deb's been sort of the person that's sort of been behind all this book activity for you and me of late.
Yes. I don't know how to thank her.
You
should see it. You should see it. Well, it's really good.
Yeah, no. She's done a fantastic job. I mean, it's not easy to do, Hatta, to wrangle, for want of a better word, a whole heap of poems and pictures into something that makes cohesive sense. It's not straightforward at all.
I think she's having fun.
I think she's having fun some of the time, Hatta. Jeff, are you having fun?
I'm having more fun from the reactions of you guys once I complete it. But it's definitely a lot of work, but luckily it's a labor of love, so it's all good. But fun a little bit.
I made the mistake of telling Deb I don't know how I'm ever going to thank her. There, and she set me straight a couple words, so I was sort of let her do her thing.
Well, there you go. At least you know where you stand, Hatta.
Yeah, hey. No,
yeah.
I was just totally impressed. I guess I got a whole art section. That's the best.
Well, which is really cool. Because, you know, you're like an artist and you can do stuff, you know, which makes perfect sense. And so if you're like an artist and you can do art, it makes sense to have an art section, doesn't it, really?
One thing I found out is like, what's a good chick magnet? A puppy in the park. You take a puppy to the park, you're going to have chicks come up talk to you, right?
Same thing with an
art pad at a bar or a tavern. You sit in the corner and you start sketching.
Yes.
They got to know what you're doing. They just have to know what you're doing. They come over and...
Probably. Chick magnet. Well, there you go.
I don't know if that's a chick magnet. It's a nosiness magnet because some of us just have to... No, everything.
Hey, whatever gets them out of their pocket to you is a good thing, I guess. You don't have to.
Yeah.
the denials.
Whatever gets you a beer, as they say in the classics.
Yeah,
so.
you better have your book sort of full with some good art, because they're going to want to look through it.
And had you told me that it was okay to share the manuscript with AP, so I had somebody who could see it in full view help me with the positioning and stuff. So although he hasn't, like, sat and read the book, he's helped me with the format and stuff. So.
Cool. Thank you, AP Taylor.
I have had... But strange, weird, wonderful perspectives, Hatta, most of which have been dismissed out of hand by Deb. But the odd small thing has been included.
They were good odd small things. And incidentally, AP loves the cover, too. It's a big hit.
I do.
Yeah.
It is. I think it's better. Looks fantastic.
Yeah, you know, Deb, all those that you sent over for me to check out, all those were good covers, but that one you chose was outstanding.
Well,
yeah, it was.
That part
really looks great.
Yeah, I like making covers. That is, I'll give you that one, Hatter.
Yeah.
That part's way fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I even did the Frankenstein activity for AP for his.
Deb, a book signing. How do you give him? I saw an article. I didn't read it yet on how to get people to come to your book signing. Oh, really?
Really?
Don't worry about that.
I will probably launch it in. So there's no bookstores left in Portland where the books sit. There's no book place to launch it in Portland. So I'm going to have to go down the road. About 40 miles to Port Perry, where there's plenty of bookstores. So I'll look at it in Port Perry. No, I'm author's tour. I'll put the jacket on. I'll probably get myself a little promotional thing with the cover on it that will pop up behind me. All that stuff, you know.
Yeah, I heard how to get your book on the best selling list. A lot of authors do is they buy 1,000 of their own books, automatically gets you the best-selling one.
Work.
That's not a bad idea though, because then you get a fistful of it back, and you can donate copies to a school or two, and then they get around in the libraries and whatnot, or you can stock some in the bookstores for consignment. There's all kinds of things you can do with it, but it does get you on that list, and you get your commission back. So,
I have been looking at that, Deb. I've been looking at that locally. There's two or three bookstores that I've highlighted in Melbourne that do consignment for independent authors, and so I'll approach those in the next couple of weeks.
I didn't look at the what is the dimensions of the book cover? I didn't pay attention to that. How big?
6x9, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. 6x9. Yeah.
And the hardcover would be a little bigger, or just the same?
I don't know. No. As far as I know, it's exactly the same, just in hardbound.
Yeah, I think 6x9 is a good size for soft or hard copy, Hatter, to be honest. I think it feels about right. You know how you put a book in your hand, sometimes it looks too small, sometimes it looks too big. You know, 6x9 feels about right.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be able to slide it in a coat pocket.
It'd be a big pocket, but that's okay. Because what they used to do in World War One, for example, Hatter, is they used to do trench editions, they used to call them. And they used to be smaller and could slip in the back of the top of the backpack.
There you go. You know, when we were first talking about what to do with our pieces or our art, and it came up as a joking. I said, "Well, what about using some lines or phrases from certain poems on toilet paper?"
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I still think that's a good idea.
Well,
I don't know.
It could be a good idea, Hatter. So
you don't know.
You've got to check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, you could end up with a catchphrase that catches on.
You could. Right. But I was just going to I just wanted to show you the difference between a regular book and the trench copy that they had for World War One.
Where are you?
I don't know what's going on here. Hold on. My camera has decided to play up. Okay. So.
I forgot to put my piece on the show page on the board.
I didn't see it, Matt. I have to say. I didn't see it. So that's usually a sign that it hasn't got there.
Yeah, it will be in 2 minutes.
Okay. Now, did you struggle with this one, Hatter? You were saying?
I did. Earlier in the week, I wrote down a full body of what I wanted. I was going to go back later and do a final edit. And when I did, to pick it back up, I wasn't happy with it. I basically cut it up and rewrote the damn thing. And whenever you do that, you tend to, it's shorter, which is good. Brevity is good.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm never happy. I'm never real happy with what I write. This is one also. So you tell me.
I have on the board, meanwhile, put down what the trench edition looked like compared to the standard 6x9 that we're working with, Hatter. So
okay. I'm running down the path. Okay.
See that the small edition was about the same width, but it was much tinier. So it was like about 4 by 3 inches, something like that. It, as I said, it was done that way, so it could be put in the top of a backpack.
I've seen the little books. In fact, I had one for a long time. It was poetry. I had another one, which was the screen right of the Inherit the Wind. It had the it had the directions of the stay on the stage with it. I read it cover to cover during jury duty years and years ago. Inherit the Wind.
Really?
What else am I gonna do?
Well,
you know, that's a good book on that board. Just saying.
Well,
that's
true.
I'm going to go get mine real quick. Should be.
Let's have a look.
Yeah.
But the other thing I was going to say, Hatter, is that little book has the most beautiful little illustrations in it. So it's just a tiny book, as you can see. But if I just see if I can grab. And all poetry does the right thing and all that stuff. Let me just grab. Have a look when I put it up here. It's got the most beautiful little colour illustrations in it still. So even though it's still just a tiny book and they knew that it was going to be put in backpacks and stuff in soldiers' hands at the front, just have a look at those little beautiful pictures at the front there that book has.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
It is really gorgeous.
So the horse race, and then it's got a little verse attached to the front piece there.
Now,
so this is actually a first edition of this book. Saltbush Bill JP, but it's in the trench edition, the trench size.
Okay.
From 1917, so just over 100 years old. Beautiful thing.
Looks like it's in great condition too.
Yeah, it's in beautiful condition. It's lovely. I don't think it ever went to the front, but it's just over 100 years old and just a beautiful little book. So there you go.
How many pages do you have?
Very nice. Sorry, Hannah?
How many pages is yours? How many pages do you have?
Is my book or Saltbush Bill?
Mine's
175, and Saltbush Bill is only 116. There you go, 116 pages. But a beautiful old book. And as you'll see, Hatter, I've got first editions of all Banjo Paterson books, with the exception, of course, of The Man from Snowy River, because there were only a couple of thousand of them done back in the day, which was, of course, 1895. Get it right in a minute. 1895 was the first edition of The Man from Snowy River, and it sold out in great speed. And so there is one up for sale at the minute, but it's too expensive. I'm not paying $10,000 for a first edition Banjo Paterson book, as much as I love him. But they do commonly get about $3,000 to $4,000. So that's about their market going rate at the minute. So I will get one eventually.
Now Banjo, he was known and famous for his piece while he was still alive, right?
Oh yeah, very much. Yes.
Lawson was the other.
He was at the same time, but Henry Lawson was. He was sort of the poor man's poet, Hatter, and he also had problems with addiction through his life, and his life was rather sad. You know, Banjo was exceptionally well known and well regarded and all that sort of stuff, but Henry Lawson's life was sort of cut short by alcohol, and he finished in a sort of very small rooming house and didn't live anywhere near as long as he should have. So, yeah, and interestingly, you can even see it in the differences between the books when they were printed, Hatter. So I am just going to wander off. You know, you see how the Banjo Paterson's a hard cover and it's got coloured illustrations and all that sort of stuff? Yeah. That was because he was really well known and because he was, you know, well regarded and all that sort of stuff. I have a first edition of a Henry Lawson book, and I just want you to see the difference. Yeah, because I'm just going to quickly throw it across. Hold on, just give me one tick. The Henry Lawson book has got this fine cover that it almost is like a piece of paper. It's so thin, yeah. And it looks like a chemistry book because nobody ever spent any. Time or money on it. And so what actually happened was that it's actually really hard to get a really good quality Henry Lawson first edition because they were so fine. Yeah.
Huh.
Most of them just fell apart. So this now, and you'll see the difference between the two. There's no coloured illustrations in this. There's no hard copy. It's just a paper, literally a fine paper title, and then it's all sort of just added together. And so, you know, Banjo had all the money and fame, and Henry didn't. So if you have a look at that book, that's For Australia and Other Poems, and that is a first edition Henry Lawson book from 1913. Yeah. So that one's just over, 110 years old. And that is like fine tissue paper.
Really?
Yeah, it's really, really fine, incredibly fine. It's you'd find paper tissue wrapping paper almost, you know, would be stronger than that. But that's the best way I can describe the difference between Banjo and Henry. You know, Banjo had beautiful colour illustrations, beautiful hardback volumes, and Henry had these very dissolvable, very fine paper copies that were much cheaper.
Either one of them do their own illustration?
No. They actually had in Saltbushville, I think it's got a special illustrator with it. And Henry had no illustrations, right? So Lionel Lindsay did the illustrations for Banjo, but there were no illustrations in Henry's book.
Yeah, just to have a damp hands would ruin the cover. So I can see why.
Yeah. Literally, yeah. No, absolutely right. Had it, you could pick up that cover with hands or oily hands, and it would not look like that. Yeah. So that's a, you know, the Saltbushville book is, I don't know, $200, and that Henry Lawson book in that condition is probably worth about $300 as a book.
Did you have required reading in college or in high school? Were either one of those?
Believe Banjo was at some points in the 1890s and early 1900s. Never Henry Lawson, because Henry was seen to be and was said in Parliament to be a revolutionary with some of his words. So,
do you remember I wrote a piece called The Aussie Singularity?
Yes, I do. I do remember that. Yes. Yes.
I sort of rewrote it.
Oh, did you? Okay, were you allowed to do that? Is that your piece for this week?
No. I have another piece for books.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well, do you want to do your one first, Hatter?
Sure, I can do that.
Okay, let's do that.
Right.
And meanwhile, you've seen some nice old books, anyway.
Okay.
So.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay, there it is.
Okay. You're happy to read
it? I'm having a coughing attack. Can you read it, please?
I can read it. Having a coughing attack. Okay. Well, this is, I don't know the reason why, and by Jay Hatter, it goes a little bit like this. There's a place I went where broken is bent, and it goes a little bit like this. Laid in lines, cursing the times, wondering how I was to get back home. Taken down some being held ransom, and I'm not here to help, and I'm not to be left here alone. Excuse me. remembering things I once held in my dreams, the stories of days gone by. With one second look, I counted the books, and I don't know the reason why. End poem. That's fun.
Yeah.
And I'm not to be left here.
It got cut up.
Yeah, interesting. With one second look, I counted the books, and I don't know the reason why. It's a good way of actually thinking about and questioning the world, isn't it, Patter? Yeah, if you're remembering things you held in your dreams, the stories of days gone by, and then you turn to the bookcase and you start counting the books, it's really, it's a very nice sort of turn in the world, and it's a very nice sort of interesting question. Deb, what did you think?
I thought it was pretty clever. It's a brevity, but it still had a lot to say, like laden lines, cursing the times, wondering how I was to get back home, taken down, some being held ransom, and I'm not to be left here.
Okay, both of you ran over those lines too quick. It's taken down some, being held ransom.
Okay.
Oh, it's so cool, Bob.
Interesting.
And I'm not to be left alone.
Why
no.
do that?
Is it rhymed? Yeah.
It's interesting. It's interesting. I like it, Heather.
Big old bag of money.
I like it because it's there's actually no wasted lines in this one. It's quite precise to the task, and I think that's really cool.
Thank you. You know, hearing you read it, I tend to. It was a little better than I thought when you read it.
I really like it, Hatter. I think it's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do.
I think it's short.
I don't mind it being short. I just like how it as I said, every word is adding something, every line is adding something. It's short, but it's meaningfully short.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
You know, I learned a self-taught lesson when you don't have when you post a piece and you have to go comment on two poems. There's a choice. You can look at all the ones you can choose. Now, are you going to pick the 21 stanza, 80 lines, or are you going to do the 19 line or the 10 line poem?
Yeah.
Which one's going to get read more? Yeah.
The smaller one. Yep.
The smaller one. Gotta get it all into the smaller places.
No. No, it's interesting. So, anyways, well, we can do mine next if you like, Ada.
Sure.
We can do mine next.
Sure.
And I actually, you know, I talked a few weeks ago about Papua New Guinea.
About what?
And Papua New Guinea, and about the fact that underestimated the population by 8 million people or something, yeah?
Right.
A country with a fairly similar population to what Papua New Guinea now has, which is almost about 20 million people, is Sri Lanka. And we don't think about Sri Lanka very often, but unfortunately, Sri Lanka had a fairly large dependence on tourism, and then had some rather unsavoury events. And so a lot of people stopped going there, and all of a sudden its economy sort of fell in a hole. And it became one of the first countries in the world to actually have no money. And that happened last year. Like, its foreign reserves were less than $1 million. It had no fuel, it had no fertiliser, it couldn't import anything. Now, it's gone and rearranged some of its loans, and so things are not quite as desperate as they were. But, you know, people who used to eat meat 3-4 times a week are now eating it once a month. Some of the people have been saying they haven't had milk for 6 months. They can't afford eggs.
Wow.
And so
is there a king? Does he have a king, or is it rules?
No, there was a family of politicians who ran the country, ran in inverted commas the country down, I would argue, but they all disappeared and left it to somebody else to try and fix up the mess about 12 months ago. And they are gradually edging their way back to having food for everybody and some money, but it's been a really hard journey. So when I started thinking about, you know, where things have gone badly wrong, I was actually thinking about Sri Lanka. So anyway, this is Miss Took, if this will open up for me. And it goes a little bit like this. When on a breaker and as do look, just before those waves go schluck, we can imagine horses all mistook, manes they curl as a spine in a book. For there are plenty on that hook, as the calls come once flies the cook. Clearly a missing accountant took his mane curls off a boat the crook. And countries to debts left forsook, situations where no money to brook. So the poor in winding lines overtook what remained standing, still a chook. For cash is king in these times, look, hard decisions early or all go skook. And it's easy to say history mistook, but friends, it's just as words in a book. End poem.
I think this needs a second look.
Ha ha! Maybe.
And countries to... Oh, I thought I said debts. Debts. Okay. Get that in there.
Yeah.
Countries to debts. That's so. Okay, got to ask. Did it just dawn on you to do the same rhyme ending, or did it just evolve into that?
As I was writing it, I thought that would be really funky, Hatter, to go back to the same line ending, but to do it with regard to the broader picture of the world rather than just the waves coming in. Yeah, so I thought it was funky, but it didn't dawn on me until I was writing, I think, third stanza.
Is it Wayne that does it so well? Does that? I think it's Wayne.
Wayne does a lot of Moneron. Yeah, he does. But yeah, I just thought, well, no, let's just make a few political comments here, in the broad, and the last stanza was basically me saying, you know, we're about to head into rather a nasty downturn in the next little period, you know, we've got to be aware of that individually and holistically, and start doing all the things that prepare us for when things get tougher, Adam. And I think that's particularly the case in Australia.
You know, they keep asking the question, what is LA going to do for water? And nobody ever has a damn answer. They've been doing that for decades. And now it's in their face. And they all the time that they had to take to try to help the situation, they did nothing. Now they want to save the pipelines from Northern California and basically run a whole river down the length of California in big old tunnel pipes.
But what you say is completely correct in the broad as well, Hatter, and that is that when faced with the opportunity to do some things to improve a situation before it gets there, most people don't do it. Yeah? And so... then we get into a situation. Now, unfortunately, Australia fortunately or unfortunately, back, it wasn't too long ago that we had the downturn and you know, in the 90s and stuff, but we didn't actually have a recession then in Australia. We haven't had a recession in Australia for over 30 years. And so we're about to have one, but about the vast majority of the community here don't know how to actually deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, it's going to get uglier in California.
Correct.
I grew up here
I think it's going to get uglier in California. And I think it'll be even uglier in Australia.
60s, 70s, 80s is a great place to live.
Yeah.
The 90s started getting sour in the 2000s, and here we are.
Yep. It's, yeah, absolutely. But as I said, Australia's got some unique things about it. But if things go bad economically, it's even worse to be in Australia than it is to be in most parts of the world. So it's going to be a tough period the next year or two. Patter down here.
Great time to visit then, huh?
Well, you're getting there before it happens, Hatter.
Okay.
You're coming down before? Yeah. No, you'll still be rolling and rocking along beautifully when you're coming down.
I can't believe I'm going to be the one with the accent.
You will be the one with the accent. you'll hear a whole heap of people sounding a bit like me. I sound more English than anything else. But you'll hear
I'll be doing a lot of
sounding like me than you will sounding like you. How's that?
You're hard to pick out as Australian, even though it's more obvious now, because there's English in your accent.
Yeah, so there is.
Like I thought you were from England because you didn't sound like Cobra or
Crocodile. The typical Australian is far more nasal than me, and a little bit more ochre. And because my dad was English, I think I've called it before, Hatter. It's the East Sydney newsreader accent.
Yeah, now, so, your mom and dad, did they meet in England? Did your mom live in England? Or she was Australian?
No, my father came out to Australia when he was 14, Hatter. He was one of the so-called 10-pound Toms.
Okay. Why did I just had it stuck in my head that you moved down there when you were 14. No, your dad did. Okay.
No. My father came when he was 14. He lived in England through the war and was lived just near Salisbury in England. So,
I remember you talking about your grandfather. You talked about your grandfather and your dad and, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I could have pieced it together if I had just
thought. Yeah. And interestingly enough, my grandfather actually did write a poetry book of bush poems.
Really?
Wow.
He did.
Can we get a hand on that?
He did. I have a copy of it here, Hatter. Yes.
Can we pull it out and read something off of it?
Well, we can if you want to, but we should get Deb to talk about my poem first before we do anything else.
Sure.
Yeah,
I
like the fact that it's the unirhyme, rhyming with book all the way through. And I like the cooking the book kind of feel there, and you know, the outcome is never really good when you do that kind of stuff. I just thought it was really cool, but clearly a missing accountant took his main curls off a boat, the crook. Now we know where the money went. I just think that it was very, very clever, especially tying it into current events.
Is he missing any book words? Is he missing any book words rather than Chinook?
Sorry, Hannah?
I think you got them all. I was thinking, what words don't you have?
I think I've got a lot of them. There's probably a few.
You got a ton of them.
But
I'm sure.
I think I've got a lot.
Let's see. Rook. You got Rook. Did you put Rook in there?
No, Rook's not there.
Small
there.
Crow, small raven. Deb.
Okay. Now, Hatter, since you are.
Yes.
There are very, very few copies of this book running around. It was published in 1982 here. It was called The Gippsland Sagas. And it was a book of bush poetry by my father's father. It's now up on the board now, if you have a look.
Have a look at the book. It took me back to Mistook. Hold on. Okay, here we go. That's it? Wow.
That's it. Just a small little novel left. All
right.
And it was only 60 pages.
Wow. How many editions were there? I mean, how many copies?
A very, very small number. Probably only about 100.
Did he do the drawing?
He didn't do any drawings. He used some photos, mainly in black. Mainly in black and very black, actually. Turned them black.
That first plant that's closest to the to you in that book looks probably a little curiously like the eagle's upstairs. It's like weed.
So let me can I read you a poem?
Yes.
They're all pretty long, actually. I'm just having a look at which one I can read, but I am going to read. Oh, I think you'll like this one. This is The Tragedy of Errors, and I'm sorry I can't put this up because I'm reading it literally out of the book. You ready?
Yeah. Yep.
This is called A Tragedy of Errors. The power to reason notwithstanding, man makes most of his misery by misunderstanding. It was this fact no other than led to his death of a settler named Anne. I could never discover the surname of the latter, but for the purpose of the story, it really doesn't matter. Just outside of where now Orbus stands, Dan worked on his small selection, the spot where the snowy makes a sweeping curve in an easterly direction. High upon some rising ground, his small neat shack was built, and he prospered from the richness of the flood-borne river silt. But as he did other settlers, he suffered the attacks and general depredations of the local tribe. They speared the cattle, raided crops, and made it plain they would at every opportunity do all the harm they could. And this, it was his fair to say, they were conscious of no crime, took only what was on the land that was theirs from ancient time. It angered them that anyone should their country circumscribed, as they resented the intrusion of the pale-skinned tribe. Their leader was named Billabunda Billy, and by the settlers around nicknamed Billy Billy. Although a fearless fighter and champion of their rights, he knew the tribesmen's weapons were no weapons for the whites. So in his mind he sought a way whereby bickering might cease, and those tribes, both black and white, contrived to live in peace. End poem. There you go.
Wow.
We call ourselves poets.
That's pretty friggin' awesome. And did you say this was grandpa or father?
Grandpa. Yeah, grandpa.
It just blows me away that your grandpa has a book, and now you do too. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
So you know, I think Joy's dad was a big reader. Now the farm, the house that they lived in is still vacant. It's still full of their stuff. I think she said in his den or his library, which has got bookshelves all around it, There's a drawer full of poetry, I think is what she said.
Wow.
I've been trying to get her to go down there again. But
Yeah, absolutely. So, there you go. That was a poem from the Gippsland Sagas from my grandfather.
That was excellent.
Yeah, definitely.
The extra long line rhyme, and
yeah, very banjo-esque type.
The cadence was so perfect, you didn't have to wait for it because it was coming. It was gonna be announced. You read it perfectly. I saw that he threw in a couple short line rhyme in
he did.
That was very good. I was impressed.
Yeah, no. He was on one of the late shows here on television, and he used to recite his poems. So that was why he did a little book. But it was literally right before he passed away. So he left it almost to the last minute. And so it's sort of got a photo of him.
AP, without counting, what do you think the cadence, the syllable count is on one of the lines? I mean, you don't have to count. I mean, it sounds like they're like
I won't count it, but I reckon it's more, you know, the classic sort of short line syllable counts about eight, had up, and so I reckon it's up around 16 when you go that long syllable count.
I'll check it out when I'm down there. But I'd like to know if that's consistent. Did he sonnet it, you know, or did it just let it flow the way that it sounds good? I mean, I don't count my cadence at all.
I don't think they counted it, Hatter. I think what they did was they just went with what sounded right, and it's interesting because the when you're writing bush poetry, and that's what he did, it tends to just go with the flow, and you go with the flow, and you get a poem, and it's what sounds good in the rhythm, and I don't think he would have been looking for a particular syllable length.
Yeah, just as some people, and there's nothing wrong with it at all, is they stick to the, for example, the sonnets, 10
yeah.
count, right? And they stick.
Eight or ten. Eight often.
I go with what, and I think I'm a creature of my own accent, because I've noticed other people with other accents, they read certain parts faster or slower, and so the cadence can seem a little bit off when they read it. As when I wrote it, it didn't. If that makes sense.
No, it does. I mean, I went back to one of my classic long line poems, Hatter, because I've never done this and actually had a look at what the syllable count was. Yeah. So you remember The Man from Ironbark? Really long line poem. Yeah. So if I look at the first stanza of that, it's 16, 14, 16, 14, 14, 15.
That's it? That's actually it?
That's the syllable count of the first stanza. Yeah.
And that's the pattern?
No, it's different than each stanza because it's slightly...
Okay.
Certain syllables are longer in your speaking, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you gotta go with what tickles the feather in your ear when you go long line rhyme.
Exactly.
It's just gotta sound good. No tripping.
Exactly right.
And you hit that rhyme, you know, that rhyme word. That's why it's so important, I think. Certain rhyming sounds better after other certain rhyming sounds.
Yes. I agree. And I on the board, Pee-wee is listening, and he was saying Zane Grey is a relative of his, somewhere along the lines, a cousin removed. How's that? That's really cool. So I don't have Zane Grey in my family.
My mom had the whole collection of Zane Greys. Whole collection.
That's impressive. Now, we should get Deb to put her poem up, because then we've got a couple of others.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, talking about people who are spot on with syllable count and stuff. We've got a poem by Titus, and he's always spot on. But, Deb, did you want to put your poem up?
Sure. But while I get it, I would really appreciate it if Mr. A.P. Taylor from the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation read the announcement that I just put on the board.
Ah, okay. I can do that, I think. Ah, so this is congratulations to a team of, because we've picked up another country of listeners. Woohoo! Actually, a team of voices radio welcome four more countries to our list.
Well, I'm sorry, that should have been changed to a three. My apologies.
It should have been changed to three. Yeah, and I can see though. There's only three countries there, but that's okay. We're going to welcome three.
I was wondering, 70
countries, and the new countries are Argentina, Zambia, and the Ukraine. I'm glad that the Ukraine are listening. Somebody's listening, because at least, you know, that would be better than listening to all the other stuff that's going on in the Ukraine at the minute. So anyway, there you go. You're going to say something.
You get the president to call over there, get the Ukraine. That's great. I'm surprised Argentina wasn't already on our list.
Well, there you go.
70.
I was surprised, too.
70. Yep, there you go. 70.
That's impressive, man.
70, unreal. And Hatter, do you know why I went to check on that count? Because last night when I added listen to in 67 countries to that page in your book manuscript, I thought, I wonder if there's any more. And lo and behold,
yes,
there was three more. So I was really excited.
Perfect.
I'll have to fix that on the chat wall. Cause
I don't think I could name you 70 countries.
I'd have to read them from the list. I couldn't off the top of my head. Name
either, okie doke, Deb, we've got you up.
Deb needs an intro song. We've got to get her an intro song.
Now, I have that for the, when we do the, you know, the contest thing, we have an intro song for Deb.
I wanted to give her Tubular Bells.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
What was that?
Tubular
you wanted
bells.
To do what?
Give you
wanted to give
Tubular Bells.
A theme.
Deb. Back when I was hunting for one. For you.
You want to do an intro song.
I meant to do a drum roll. Yeah.
Now,
yeah, I'm not in the studio.
Before you start, Deb, before you start, I've got two people
okay.
on hold. Hello, 603, how are you?
Sky.
Hello.
Hi, Sky.
Hello.
How are you?
And to meet you here.
And,
hi, Sky.
And we have 440. Hello, 440.
Stephen.
Hello.
Hi, Stephen.
To myself,
I didn't think we were going to see you, and we actually haven't even done your poem yet, which is ridiculous. So you can do your poem when you're here.
Yeah, I was going to say let's do that instead, since he did call.
Yeah,
he's on the board.
Let's do Stephen's poem, and then we'll do Deb's poem. Or Skies, depending on what you've got, Sky.
Do them guys, because they just got off the radio and then...
Yeah. So I am going to put Stephen's poem up. Now, Sky, you've got a poem there too. Okay, we're going to do Stephen's poem first, then Skies, and then we will work out what we're going to do next. Okay,
awesome.
Stephen, your poem is up on the board officially.
All right. This is about a book that I read every year. It was a contest that Crystal actually ran. And this is called Late November Time Traveler. Never had the riches to travel overseas. Always wanted to see England, a trip that would please. But every November, I travel through time to merry old London, a sensation sublime. I walk through the streets and see all the shops, holiday cheer in the air, through fog snow does drop. All the treats on display do make my mouth water, but I have to tread carefully, for ice makes my feet totter. And the grumpy old man I do follow around just makes my trip better as I watch him rebound. Happy tear in my eye as this journey nears end, as he plays joke on clerk and they become friends. This vacation I take every year, I swear, and if you haven't guessed it, Charles Dickens takes me there. End poem.
Aha. I like Dickens. He's very good. And he's very English. Very English. Just wonderful job of actually giving you a sense of England, Stephen. You're absolutely right. Deb, did you want to say some words about Dickens and the poem?
Yeah, and I thought it was cool. And I'll start from the ending there because I like how you ended it with, and if you haven't guessed it, Charles Dickens takes me there. Dickens takes me there. There's something about that takes me there that I liked. But I walk through the streets and see all the shops, holiday cheer in the air through fog, snow does drop. And what was it? And the grumpy old man I do follow around just makes my trip better as I watch him rebound. I just think that it's really cool, and I like how rather than talking about the book on its own, you walked through it and told us what you were seeing and stuff. So I thought that was a great take on it. Very, very clever stuff, and congrats on the medal.
Thanks, Deb. People watching. Who's watching people?
Yes.
You know, following an old grumpy old man around to get the kicks. Don't turn around, Henry. That was you following me? Damn. Oh, this is good. Made me laugh, man.
Yeah, well done. And Skye, did you want to say a few words about that piece?
Yeah, I'd love to share this one again. And I think I know Stephen pretty well. So as soon as he said a book they read every year, I knew right away that it was going to be Dickens. And I love your passion and your enthusiasm for the book. I also love this poem. And I just like how you put the characters. I walk through the streets and I see the shoppers' holiday cheer in the air through fog and snow does drop. The poem is lovely. I think the most thing I love about it is that there are some things I think in our lives that we can always kind of like for sure things, you know, things that are tradition and that kind of hold us steady and keep us grounded. And I love that this is one of them for you. Really well done.
Okay.
Excellent stuff. Now, Skye, I was going to get your poem and put it on the board as well, because I know you've just been on the radio as well. So let me grab that and put it up on the board so you can read for us.
Thank you. So this okay. is, I've read this book, and it was called Undine, and it was the original inspiration for Little Mermaid. And of course, you know, if you read the Hans Christian Andersen version, that one still is a little bit dark. But this is way before that. This was the inspiration before that. And this was really dark, the book. I highly recommend reading it if you have never. I think it's cool to see how the perspective has changed over time. But this is called The Spindrift of the Undine. I dwell in the grave of Folio's song Spindrift, and a wild forebode which walks uneven. Surfaces that rain shadow and sun when soul survives the eclipse of its meridian. There was a time I mightn't have known the opportunity of element and ghost, but upon the wayward will of ward and rill, I was traded like a known changeling, a stranger among grief. In the cottage that hid in darkly forest, among timbers none would travel, I aged empty of the quintessence that made humanity stand apart. It was there that came to me the doorkeeper called Lord and Knight, and upon our vows the gift of soul bestowed itself upon my smile. But in time it rendered love to rot. End poem. And this was like an unfinished one. I always wanted to go back and write the second half of the book and how dark it got, but then I never did.
Yes.
There we go.
Okay,
so there's no two spoiler alert.
Okay. No, I thought it was really good, Sky. I thought it was great, but, you know, I thought it was well finished, but there you go. Deb, what did you think?
Yeah, Sky, I really liked your couplets here. There was a time I might have known that of evil eternity of element and ghost. I thought that was really cool. And then in the cottage that hid in the darkly forest among timbers none would travel, I aged empty of the quintessence that made humanity stand apart. I like the visual there. I like the thought of how you aged, and upon our vows the gift of soul bestowed itself upon my smile. Time I rendered love to rot. What an ending. And I think that now that you've reread it, maybe you might rethink the continuation. Just saying.
Thank you. I love reading fairy tales, like where they originated from. It's one of my favorite things to do, to read the different versions, and especially when it comes to the darker originals. It's definitely a good book.
Well, there you go. Now I'm just going backwards for a tick, Sky. Just bear with me. You know how Stephen had that book by Dickens that said it reminded him of England. Yeah. When I was in Australia, there was this painter called J.M.W. Turner, brilliant British painter. And I just thought to myself, he's so dull. Why is he so dull? And then I got to England and I realized, oh shit, the light's different. It's completely different from Australia. He's actually really good. So anyway, sorry, my apologies to J.M.W. Turner. Pat, what did you think of Scott?
Now, I know, Sky, you enjoy the fairy tale, the sci-fi, the kingdoms of the trolls, and the kind of thing that you've created your own, too, right? Don't you have your own kingdoms of the character? You've created the characters?
Oh, yeah, I have my own characters. This was a fandom piece, but, yeah, I have my own things, worlds I create in different flash fiction.
And this is written basically from a story?
So this was a book, it's a novella, and it was a French novella that was the original take of Little Mermaid. But it was based all in like the fae. Originally it was a changeling, and you know, they were switched at birth, and there's like this whole thing, and so mermaids, or they weren't called mermaids back. They were called the water fae. It was like a water sprite. They were water creatures, right? Which eventually would become mermaids, right? Then it was something more rooted into the fae, and they didn't have souls, right? So they don't have souls, and she wanted the same thing. She fell in love with the prince, and she needed to have a soul. So they ended up, because she was a changeling, she did have, like, it was like a different, it was like the original story that they took, Little Mermaid, and they took this story and they changed it. And it was a much darker end. Spoiler alert, she ends up killing him and coming back from the dead, because he lets her die, and she comes back from the dead and drowns him in the fountain in their home courtyard. It's It's very different, but it is the original take on it. It's where they took the story from.
What's the meaning of the title? What's the meaning of the title? Undying?
That's the name of the book.
Proper name?
Yeah.
I know, but is there a meaning? What does it mean? Or is it just a name? Undying?
It's the type of fae that that character is. It's an elemental being. So
okay.
So it's the name of the book, but it's also the elemental. It's like the element, the water elemental, right? That she was from.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah, I thought maybe it meant,
now
specific.
No, it's all good, Hatter. Now, Stephen and Sky, did you want to stick with us for a little bit, or did you need to disappear away? And if you did, I was going to get Stephen to say a few words about the show's upcoming.
Well, I was going to hang for Deb's poem, and then I was going to take off, but I could still plug real quick if that's all right.
Sure.
All right, well, we just have one thing this week. And it is on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
And the movement of sound and poetic inklings connection. And talking about George Jones and Tammy Wynette. We have quotes from the miniseries George and Tammy, as well as the music from them both to write to inspire your pen. That's what we got.
Brilliant.
The next show is Sky.
Brilliant. Perfect.
Oh, cool.
And Sky, did you want to say a few words about your next shows coming up?
And my next one is Saturday, and it's Star Wars Rebels Season 3 and 4. You could write any of the themes, characters, quotes, you can go anywhere you want. Saturday at 8.
Perfect.
And I do want to, there's going to be a big change coming up next month. My shows are moving. So check out the new day because they are going to be moving going forward starting in March. And Deb, I am going to go. I do have to do a double tomorrow, but this is a poem from my contest, and I love this one. This was a great pick. You did a great job with it. And, of course, you know, because I gave you the gold. So great job.
Thank you, Sky. Thank you, Sky.
Good night. Thanks for dropping by. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay. Deb, we're back to where we were 10 or 15 minutes ago. We're in your heads.
Okay. And like Sky said, this was from one of her contests. And when Hatter said book, the first thing that came to my mind was storybook. And I had a couple poems that are like sort of little story. So if you look at the art, it's actually a photo that Sky took of these ruins here. So my poem is called The Skeleton from a Storybook Castle. With no sweet fairy godmothers waving neon wands by hand, stars drop into ebony oceans, darkness covers sea and land. Moonlight white dresses icy gray, and acid rain eats every umbrella. Cockroaches chew the pumpkins, leaving no carriage for Cinderella. No ballroom dance or glass slippers for a prince or princess at night. The sky falls, cracking the kingdom. Eroded roofs cannot block sun's light. Stones in the castle walls crumble, drawbridge splinters into dust. Mold blankets bricks on the sides, and chipped metal pieces wear rust. Green vegetation climbs from the dirt, but planet heats and wildfires burn. Earth rattles and tornadoes hit. Still, we people do not learn. Can we break the cycle for the children, clean up messes tossed by all? Or do we strap on red leather blinders as clocks tick, a countdown to the fall? End poem.
Collusion is real, man. Global warming is real.
Yep, it certainly is, Hatter. We've got a fair bit of science on it now, and We've been doing all we can to steadfastly ignore it, as Deb said, and it's not a great look.
The sky is falling. Debbie, you should be good at telling a story. This is exceptional.
Cool. Steven, did you want to say a few words?
You're on your soapbox, huh?
Yeah, no, it's fine. Steven, did you want to say a few words about Deb's farm?
Yeah, I thought that this is yet another awesome soapbox piece, Deb. They're always great when you write them because the messages are underlying in the poetry. And I kind of saw two messages in this. I think not only about the fact that we do need to clean up our act or we destroy ourselves, but also there's that, I think that underlying message about how fairy tales are exactly that, fairy tales. They're not real. Yeah, it's a powerful piece.
Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate that. And say hi to Kay.
Will do.
Okie doke. Thank you, Stephen, for helping us out. And thanks for coming by to give us your piece. It's much appreciated.
Have a good night.
You too. Hey, Stephen, check the link I just sent in your inbox.
I will. Yeah, I saw the message pop across the bottom. I'll check it out.
Cool.
Good night.
Okie doke.
Oh, wow. I just saw the comment I left. Yeah.
Hatter, we have to come. Yeah. We've got still got a poem for Titus to do, but we have to think about the show for next week.
Yeah. You thought of the prompt?
I have. Do you want to hear what it is?
Do we need a drum roll? Should we sit down?
I don't know. We could do a drum roll. You want a drum roll? You got one.
Right.
That's it. You ready? Here we go.
Yep.
And the theme for next week will be curtains. CURTAINS, curtains, the things that go backwards and forwards, but also, you know, things have finished, it's curtains, yes?
In the white room, another with one of those curtains.
Multiple meanings. Sorry, Hannah?
In the white room with black curtains.
Oh, of course.
Wait station.
Yes. Hadn't thought about that, but you're right. Anyway, so curtains.
Little cream.
Is the theme for next work, curtains.
Wait, what just happened?
Somebody write that down.
Next week is curtains.
Aren't we doing Hatter's prompt right now?
Yeah. I just said, but that was my prompt now for next work.
I must have missed it then. I'm sorry.
Curtains.
I got a couple things going on in the inbox.
Yeah, no. Curtains.
Curtains.
Now, we should say, Deb, we should say that we have got almost all of the board with us here. That would be Hatter, yourself, and myself. The one person we don't have is Sweet, and I know Sweet's been doing it really tough recently, and we haven't been seeing much of Sweet because she has been doing it tough recently, and we are just really sorry to hear of her loss, and we just hope she works her way through that, and we get to see a little more of her down the track, but that we're all there for you and sending you our very best wishes and prayers, Sweet.
We sure are. So sorry, Sweet. Read your inbox, Heather.
So, I am now going to play Titus's poem, Deb, because that's the last one on the list.
Sounds like a plan.
And he has got a SoundCloud, which is always appreciated. And this is by Titus, and it's In Bed with a Good Book, and it's up on the board now, and I am going to play the SoundCloud right now. I think once I get the volume right. There we go.
In Bed with a Good Book by Titus Llewellyn. A bookmark will tell you where last I were. The cover, a reminder that the author wishes to extend some thoughts with her. Wife, go and ask him to wash the dishes. If conscience asks for hours to be intimate, enough you and I time, ending in words that shall not be his. Mine will advocate in dreams, we'd be like two hummingbirds. Only then will our whispers turn the pages. A secret of those who thought would cavort, rather less said though I could go on for ages. Speaking of adventure on things we ought, the mistress and the author, both excuses, husbands, books, and an epilogue that seduces.
Thank you, Titus. It's always lovely to have your eloquent contributions, because, of course, there's a tremendous history of books in England. The first recorded books that were printed in England were produced in 1473. You know, we had Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales back in 1476, 1477. So, you know, there's been a good 650 years of books being printed in England, and it tells, and it's always great to have your contributions and your poems that reflect on that history. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool how the wording, for example, the first line, a bookmark will tell you where last I were, the covering reminder that the author wishes to extend some thoughts with her, that shall not be his, mine will advocate in dreams, we'd like two hummingbirds, only then will our whispers turn the pages, like you know, the bookmark and the turn the pages, husband, books, and an epilogue that seduces it, just all the little keywords that put the book back into your mind with those pages, and I like the couplet rhyming thing he has going on there too, like the excuses and seduces. I thought that it was a great brevity, and I always appreciate listening to him read them for us.
Yes, I
really enjoy his pronunciations. So great share. Thank you. Thank you, Titus. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, the bookmark, great angle. I mean, it was how people, some people feel about the people that highlight in books. You put
this
book and somebody's highlighted. Basically, that's what a marker was. I can't remember what book it was, but I did the same thing for, I think it was an art book. And went back, found it later, years later, stashed away, and had all the ones marked. And it was really sort of cool. So that's what the...
Yeah, correct.
Different marks, sort of like in the Bible.
Classic. Hatter, we've got to the end of the list of stuff. Did you want to do the thank yous and farewells for us?
Yeah. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Stephen for stopping by. Sky. Titus for writing. AP Taylor, it's always a pleasure. Little sister, friend, Deborah, thank you. I love spending the night with you. Did I miss somebody?
Don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. I think you did pretty well, Adam.
We had Pee Wee on the board.
Yeah. And Pee Wee was on the board too. Yes, he was.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Pee Wee. And I saw that message. I'm totally blown away. That's terrible.
So
anyway,
we might.
Yeah,
we might.
So next
up.
Week it's next week it's it is curtains. It's curtains for you.
Curtains.
It's curtains.
And
why do you suppose they? I have a guess of why they say that. It's just a guess. It's curtains for you.
I don't know. We can find out.
The horse drawn hearses had actual curtains in the windows. I think that's what it is.
Let's
or the viewing room. Maybe it's the viewing room. The viewing room, yeah.
Maybe it's the viewing room. That's true. We will find out, Hatter. I will do some research. And meantime.
Because, I looked it up. It's a way of saying, like, you're going to disappear. It's the end, a failure, a death for someone or something.
Where did it originate? Did it say where it originated?
We
can do that for next week.
Today was National Clam Chowder Day and National Chocolate Covered Nut Day. Just saying.
I think it's that. Okay. Well, there you go. So I wouldn't have known that, Hatter. And it's the next day anyway, so it's too late to have chocolate coated nuts. So
hold on, we got tomorrow. We'll give you what tomorrow is. Pistachio Day, National Pistachio Day, National Tell a Fairy Tale Day, National Set a Good Example Day, National Letter to the Elder Day.
There you go. That sounds handy. Okay.
It's tomorrow.
Righto.
It is.
With all of that.
Guys, it says that it's the final stage direction. What happens at the very end is curtains. That's your origin.
So the epilogue, curtains are drawn.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Deb, did you want to say a few words about things coming up on A Team of Voices?
Oh, yeah, please. I'm on Monday at 10 is Personal Prompt Monday, and I have a new artist, Larry Braun, with some beautiful, beautiful pictures. And there are 10 amazing lines from the poetry of the poet Wayne Gent to choose from. So join us Monday to celebrate Mr. Gent. And I know that on Tuesday night, Raconteur, it's gone live for us at 11 for the last day of February. And he says, weigh measured and wanting. You have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting. Come back when you're worthy. So wherever that just took you, he'd like to hear about it.
There you go. Probably be
all right.
The goal if we get that.
So does that wind up another Hatterday Saturday?
It does.
Sounds like it winds.
Everything good? Cool. All right. Well, from California and the weather front, snow, it's not sticking. But that's pretty low.
Well, I will hit the Beatles again, and we will be back for curtains for next week, Hatter, and we'll talk to everybody soon.
Great show, you guys. And Hatter, look in your inbox again. Love and respect, everyone.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Paperback,
Great show, AP. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Hatta. Thanks, Deb. Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Night, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.